Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we've got the latest from Saddam Hussein's phony election campaign. Rupert Murdoch, is he being stalked by Solomon Lew? We've got yet another exclusive recording from our sister program across the Tasman. We've got Radio Gladiators, another round of foolish behaviour. And joining us live, Frontline's Martin D'Estasio, Tyriel Mora. It's all coming up on the program that's doing absolutely nothing for Mental Health Week. Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
Do you approve of Saddam Hussein as President of the Republic? The papers had boxes for yes and no, and there were no other candidates. Do you approve of Saddam Hussein as President of the Republic? Well, I'm glad they toned that down, because the original wording was, how do you feel about your testicles becoming an after-dinner treat? That was Sun Uday's idea, actually. Yes, so, well, they showed some discretion there. And no other candidates, Tone. Mm. This is interesting, which it isn't surprising, really. I mean, it's not the kind of country you could drive around the place with your mobile billboard, unless the number on the billboard you're updating every hour is recording the number of death threats you are receiving. Saddam's been out in the campaign trail. He likes to get out and meet the people. He doesn't shake hands or pat babies. He just cruises down the street with a box marked chemical weapons tucked under one arm and just, you know, taps it on the lid.
He's a traditionalist.
Absolutely. What else can I tell you? They've been running ads on the telly that sell him as a warm, likeable kind of leader.
Oh, yeah.
You know, probably like those Channel 9 I Am promos. Yeah. Probably saying stuff like that. I am a huge Barbara Streisand fan.
Yeah, that kind of
stuff. I'd like to see that. Yeah. Maybe not from Uday, but Saddam at least. They've got one running at the moment. This is a true one, which describes him as a unique humanitarian figure. Well, I suppose he is unique in that he's the only humanitarian figure who sends invited dinner guests home in a body bag. But I was thinking it'd be a tough job, wouldn't it, for any promotions department, selling Saddam as a loving, cuddly father figure. I mean, a huge job. You'd have to get that mob did the Mike Munro promo. I mean, for them, maybe they could deal with it. Probably be a walk in a park after the Munro experience. But have a listen. I've got one of Saddam's election ads here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they've done a pretty good job. Have a listen.
This is an important message to the people of Iraq. So please, if you haven't had your ears cut off for desertion, listen up. On election day, vote for Saddam Hussein. And not just because you're not ready to part company with your testicles, but because you are convinced he is warm and fuzzy and wants to be your pal. Not only does he love a laugh with your kiddies, he knows where they are. Capisce? So, on election day, vote one Saddam Hussein, or it's testicle a l'orange for you.
Written and authorized by Saddam Sun Uday, who's standing right behind me with a gun to my head. How was that?
Jesus!
I'm sorry if I'm distracted today, people, but I just keep getting calls from Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, do you?
He just won't leave me alone. He's been pestering me because he's losing a lot of sleep at the moment, which surprised me because I thought a man in his position would have, you know, people to sleep for him. You know, on his behalf.
Yep.
You know how it works. Jen, I'm a bit snowed under. Can you get a couple of hours shut-eye for me before the big meeting? But Solomon Lew's keeping him up. You know Solomon Lew, the nuggety head of Kohlsmeyer. He's giving Rupert a bloody hard time at the moment. And Rupert naturally called me because he'd heard I'd had some trouble with Solomon myself. Uh-huh. But I had to explain he'd got his wires crossed. My trouble was with the solo man. You know, from the solo commercial, you've got to work it hard to be a solo man. That guy, he'd been at me for months after I suggested on the show he'd started to let himself go. But since the ad, he'd been stacking it on, and in fact, his ass was now so wide he couldn't fit into that kayak anymore. But anyway, I explained that to Rupert, and Rupert told me that apparently Solomon cornered him one night in the car park and made a number of demands which, according to Rupert, amounted to blackmail. Mm-hmm. Solomon said he'd cancel $90 million worth of advertising contracts unless the following things happen in all News Corporation publications. And I've got the list here. Do you want to?
Please.
I'll just go through it. Okay, number one, no more articles criticising retail giant Kohlsmeyer.
Okay.
Number two, no more headlines containing twists on the wisdom of Solomon. Oh, I think we've all heard enough of that.
Indeed.
Official moratorium on the headline Storm in a D-Cup. I think it's time.
I'll sign that.
I think it's time. Number four, no more photographs of Leo Schofield. Oh, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Perhaps more of Kimberly Davis, less of Leo Schofield.
Absolutely.
Good idea. Number five, News Corp deceased publication of letters containing the phrases, why, oh, why, as a pensioner, when will our state government start talking sense, and any references to the fictitious nation of Naughty Land? I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Number six, Fred Bassett to include jokes. Now, that's a bit of an ask. That's going too far. Seven, ballet dancers, the only people to be photographed wearing a tutu.
Lovely.
I think that's in the public interest. Number eight, enough with the magic eye pictures. I think they're making my hair fall out. Sure. Number nine, realisation that Joe Bailey buying a new dress does not necessarily constitute news. And finally, number 10, start printing my name properly. It's Lou Solomon, damn it. Now, Mick, since we played that little excerpt last week from our sister program across the Tasman in New Zealand, the Tim and Phil Morning Show, we've had a lot more requests.
Well, it's not surprising. They're wacky funsters, too.
They are. People have been saying, give us some more Tim and Phil. So I sent away, and a tape arrived in the mail today. One of their better segments, they promised me. Let's have a listen.
G'day. You're back with the Tim and Phil Morning Show. That was Danny Minogue with This Is It. Did you like that, Phil? Yes, Tim. It was choice. I agree. It was choice. And now, time for one of our patented Tim and Phil wacky phone calls. Brought to you by Choicer Tea Bags and Delicious Slim Jims, the biscuit with the thin bit of mint filling. Today, we're calling up the Missing Individuals Information Hotline to make an inquiry, but with a twist. Phil, that's right. Instead of inquiring after a missing individual, we're going to ask if they've seen Tim's missing jandals. This should be fun.
Hello, Missing Individuals Information Hotline. This is Sid speaking.
Hello, Sid. Have you had any inquiries about jandals?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. Why would we? A missing individual is an individual that has disappeared, while a jandal is a comfy bit of casual footwear.
Ah, sorry, Sid. Our mistake. Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, Tim, we got him a beauty. We sure did, Phil. He never suspected for a minute that we were taking the piss. It was choice. I agree. It was choice. But now it's time to introduce our special guest, visiting us for the sixth time since his impressive electoral victory. It's the Prime Minister, Jim Bulger. Hello, Jim. Hello, Tim. Hello, Jim. Hello, Phil. Tell us, Jim, how was your visit to Invercargill? It was choice. Excellent. Thanks for dropping in. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Phil. And now, with thanks to Lemon and Pyro Fizzy Drink, it's time for Community Billboard. Phil? This weekend, All Black captain William Kilsyth will be in attendance at the first annual fun run for racial stability, which kicks off right opposite the recently disfigured statue of Abel Tasman on Smith Street, New Plymouth. It promises to be choice. I agree, Phil. And now, more music. It's Thin Lizzy with Killer on the Loose.
In the next hour, Mickey, we're going to be joined by Tyriel Mora. You know,
now tell me about him.
You know, Marty D'Estasio from Frontline. You know, that rascally reporter.
Yep.
And I don't think he's been in on the show before. I understand he's a bit
nervous. So be nice.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit
nervous.
That's all
I'm going to say to you. Be nice.
He's a bit trepidatious, but I've promised him a three-pack of CDs, so that calmed him down.
We've got another one.
And the final Frontline goes to air tonight on the ABC, of course, round about 8 o'clock. And also Radio Gladiators is on the way. Now, Mick, I hate to ask, because it's starting to bore the pants off me again. The O.J. Simpson trial, have we finished with it?
Forget the trial. Forget the trial, Tony. That's yesterday's news. It's onwards and upwards. Have a listen to this. O.J. Simpson has been frozen out of the exclusive Millionaires Country Club. That's a golf club where he was a member and where he played golf on the day his wife was murdered. Now, that's going to hurt him because he loves golf. He's a nut when it comes to golf. He was out, wasn't it true, he was out practicing the night when the limo was there. That was one of the excuses, wasn't it? I was out the back hitting golf balls.
Apparently.
Well, what for? Because you won't be playing at your golf club anymore, pal. When he used to love it so much, when he was in jail, he used to say to the guys, well, come on, can't we just nip out for a quick nine? And that's not a dumb idea, considering golf is one of the few sports you can actually play wearing handcuffs. The golf club said they're worried. I mean, and fair enough, because, I mean, the last thing they want to see is AJ's golf cart cruising up the fairway with 20 cop cars behind it. And the other thing is, well, no one's saying it, but, well, they're frightened to death that whenever he finishes a round, there's got to be someone from the LAPD waiting to rush his golf glove down to forensic.
This is Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today, we want to hear about collections, unusual collections, because a lot of people collect stuff, don't they?
They're nuts.
They are.
You can't take your eye off them for a minute without them running off and collecting something.
Well, I used to live at a kind of a boarding house in Auckland, but just, you know, back in my Navy days, which I don't like to talk about. But there's when you stay at a boarding house, there's always one weird guy. I think his name was Leo. He said, mate, you got to come and have a look at my collection. So I thought, okay. So I've attached a rope to myself so that I could find my way back to the real world.
Sure.
And then I've gone into his room and he's opened up the wardrobe and there inside was a collection of silver paper. Now, he hadn't just collected the silver paper. He'd fashioned it into a giant ball of silver paper.
How big was the ball?
You know the big ball in Raiders of the Lost Ark? That chases him down the corridor.
Oh, it was like make a fast getaway.
And he's saying, I'm going, how long have you been collecting? And he's just adding a new bit of like Cadbury's chocolate paper from maybe a top deck. He's just pressing it into the ball. And I've said, how long have you been doing the collection? And he goes, oh, about 16, 17 years. And I've said, you know, have you thought about maybe a girlfriend? and that man now, I think, programs a major television network here right in Australia. So, he's kicked on.
Good on him.
But that's an example of a weird or unusual collection. Have you got one, Mickey?
I collect television pilots.
Oh, do you?
Yes, from commercial networks, Tone. I'd say I'd have about 12.
Yeah, I'd have about 12 too, I think.
I'd be interested in talking to anyone who's got more than that. I think I'd take the prize.
Okay, well, that's a bit of a specialist one, but we're looking for nutty and unusual ideas for collections.
I'm sure there's a few out there.
And maybe you'd like to collect yourself a Sony Ghetto Blaster, because that's the prize, and we know who's responsible. It's the people at 4 and 20 Pies. And Mick, would the 4 and 20 Pie attract a collector? Is it that kind of pie?
It is, but it's a collection that can't go on tour.
Yeah.
You know when they had Picasso's last tour and they tried to get all the paintings out from overseas to Australia and no one would insure it
in case
the plane went down.
Just too valuable.
I saw an insurance guy looking at those pies being loaded on the back of a plane and he's just shaking his head going, you are mad. You won't get insurance.
And what kind of collection can you amass if you're into the 4 and 20s? Can you get an album? Can you put them all in a bit of an album and, you know, the steak and kidney, the steak and bacon? Is there any rare ones which collectors fight over? Is there like a 4 and 20 black? You know, where it was the logo was printed on back to front, that kind of deal?
Not that I know of. Yeah. I think the shepherd's pie is an elusive beast. And a prize in any collector's trophy cabinet.
Is the one where, like, the bit of beef was put in back to front, that kind of thing?
Never. No. Not on record. There's been, you know, reported sightings, but none confirmed. Forgeries are rampant in the pie game.
Is that right?
The 4 and 20 pies, everyone tries to get away with it. Yeah. Everyone's, you know, pretending they've got one, but they haven't.
Can you collect time-wasting notices from being on the radio?
Yep, I think you can.
I think we're attracting 4 or 5 right now.
And you've come to the right people.
If you want to tell us about your collection, call now, 1-800-657-657. Yes. It's Radio Gladiators. Today we're looking for unusual collections. Mick, introduce the collectors.
Well, our first buff is Julie. G'day, Julie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
All right. Now, is this something you collect yourself?
No, it's my husband, actually.
Oh, yeah. And what does he collect?
We've got a big garage, and I keep my car outside the garage. Inside the garage is his gymnasium equipment that he never uses. He's the scrawniest little wanky you've ever seen. He's got a bench press, the weights, the punch bag, dumbbells, sit-up machine, the walker, and I think it just gathers dust while my car gathers the rust.
Have you ever thought about collecting him with your car?
Oh, I'd love to sometimes, honestly.
And no signs of any improvement in his physique?
Definitely not.
Does he say he uses it?
I think it's more the fridge out there with the beer in it, I think.
Yeah, he's probably told you, I'm out there, I'm in the gym equipment. He's probably out the back in the garage burying bodies under the floorboards or something,
oh,
Julie.
Probably.
You watch out. He's probably listening to this, digging a nice fresh one.
Probably.
And, Julie, how long have you been married?
13 years.
Ah, well, there you go.
And he's still the same weasel.
I love him. I feel like I know him. Is he listening at the moment, do you think?
He probably is, and he's thinking that bloody bitch.
Well, one thing we do know, he won't be in the garage on the gym equipment.
I'll take the keys and lock the bloody thing.
The only bit of gym equipment he uses is the Fridge Master.
That's the hand, yes.
A couple of hours on the Fridge Master. Thanks, Julie.
All right, Julie. If we got Jason on board. Jason, what do you collect?
I collect stickers of fruit.
Right. And have you seen anyone about this?
No, not yet.
How'd you come up with that?
Oh, I was just...
ogling a bit of fruit?
Yeah.
He went, hang on a second, what's that? It's a sticker. You're mine.
Yeah, I just stuck it on the kitchen wall.
And how big is the collection? How many stickers? 3, 4?
Around about 50.
50?
Different ones.
Is it the biggest in the southern hemisphere of its nature?
I don't know.
What's the pride and joy? What's the the icing on the cake? What's the top one?
I don't know.
You're not necessarily an avid collector. It's just a bit of a casual thing, is it?
Yeah.
Well, you go any bit of fruit? Any bit of fruit you see?
Yeah.
What's your favourite? Say you walk into a fruit shop. It's all there. It's smorgasbord. You're going, oh, look at all this. Then they've all got stickers on it. What would you go for first?
Apples.
Apples, green ones or red ones?
Red.
Jason, did you just invent this collection to get on the competition?
No, nah, I've got them here on the kitchen wall.
What do the stickers say?
I've got Top Qual.
Top Qual.
V19, Johnny Smith, Granny Smith, Jonathan.
Well, at least it's amusing, Jason. Okay, Jason, we'll keep you on hold there, and we'll move on to Joe. Joe, what do you collect?
I collect notes from my teacher.
All right, and what sort of thing?
What do you mean?
Well, what kind of notes? You mean Joe is not paying attention?
Yeah, sort of like that.
Joe must try harder, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you got them all in an album? Have you mounted them?
No, we got homework diaries and... that we used to write homework in, teachers write notes in there.
And how many have you amassed to date?
From year 7, probably about 40, I don't know.
And what's your favourite one?
I'm not sure, they're all about the same.
And do you ever get your friends together and give them a reading? They come round, poetry reading style, and you just refer to the book and read. I'm reading now from year 8, Mr Henderson. And he says, do you do that?
But some of my friends have got like about 10 times more than me. But anyway, I've got another collection too.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, Michael Good. Bolton CDs. I'm just kidding.
Thank you. You're getting a note from the DJs. Next, have we got Abby on board? Abby, what's your collection? And I hope it's a bit more impressive than some of our previous callers.
Stuffed cats. It's not mine. It's my ex babysitter's.
All right. And what's the name of this ex babysitter? Norman Bates?
No. Janet.
Oh, Janet. And does she stuff them herself or...?
I'm not really sure. Like, you'd walk into the toilet and there'd be a stuffed cat sitting next to you watching you. It was really gross.
Right. Have you ever met her parents?
No.
Maybe you should have gone upstairs.
Oh, yuck.
How many cats does she have stuffed?
Well, I counted about 14, but I'm not sure.
And where'd she get them from?
I don't know, probably off the road, I'm not sure.
So she's running around town with like a fish slice, just going the scrape and amassing a collection of stuffed cats. Good luck to her. Thanks, Abby. Okay, have we got time for one more minute?
Yeah, we got Andrew on the line. G'day, Andrew, what do you got? Something good, I hope.
Yeah, it's KFC Refresher Towel.
Now, what is it about the KFC Refresher Towel that just demands and commands your attention, Andrew?
Oh, they're just magnetic, I think.
And do you open them, or you still got them sealed?
They're all sealed.
Yeah. Do you consider them more refreshing than, say, other refresher towels?
Oh, 100 times better than Red Rooster refresher towels and stuff like that.
Well, that's the Colonel. That was the commitment the Colonel made to quality.
It's not any refresher towel. It's no, KFC. It's it comes with a bucket. Want to be good.
Yep.
And do you ever get the mates around, have a few, and then just crack them open and maybe have a bit of a refresher towel flick fight?
Oh, no, just store them in the drawer.
You've got them in your drawer.
Yep.
Well, don't give away your dress because, you know, someone will be coming in your window tonight. Oh, got to get me those. Hey, Andrew, how many times have you seen Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver?
Yeah. No, it was just a suspicion, no. Just a guess. What is our winner today, Mick? It's a pretty motley collection of collections. I think we should be the winners.
I think for the first time, no one wins.
Are you sure?
No, we can't do that. We've got to do something. I reckon it's the fruit, man.
It's the fruit.
He's reading them out off the wall. He's verified his collection. He's got them all. Give us another couple. Jason, what else you got there?
I've got Lady Williams.
Oh, that's much coveted, that one. Got anything off Fig?
A fig?
Yeah.
Don't think so.
Got anything off a melon?
Melon. I think there's sunrise.
Yeah. Well, something to look forward to. You don't want to leave yourself nowhere to go. Absolutely. With a collection like that, do you?
No. Okay, Jason, you've got the Sonny Ghetto Blaster.
Okay.
All right, and are you drinking too much coffee? Is that your problem?
No, I drink tea.
Okay, too much energy for my liking. Thanks very much for playing today, Jason, and we'll be back with another riveting bout of Radio Gladiators tomorrow. Stick around, people, when the next hour we're going to open the door and welcome somebody who's got his own special collection he's going to tell us about. Mm. It's Tyrrell Mora.
On Adelaide SAFM.
Next up, Frontline's Martin D'Estasio. Tyrrell Mora bursts in Mike Munro style for a bit of a chat, and it's all courtesy of Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
Yes, sir.
It's the second hour. Time to welcome our guest, and this bloke, well, we know him, we love him. His character on Frontline, Martin D'Estasio, is well a role model for journalists right up and down the country. Make him welcome. It's Tyrrell Mora. Tyrrell, thanks for coming in today.
My absolute pleasure.
Now, before we get down to business, have you got any collections you want to share with us?
At the moment, I've got a broken down Peugeot out the front of the house. But that hardly. Anyone wants to.
Is that a collection? That's a collection of parts, I suppose.
It kind of is. It kind of is.
Yeah. Did you enjoy our little segment earlier with the collections?
Yeah. I can. There's no winners. You're right. A lot of losers, but no winners.
Correct. Now, you've just come from the theatre. Am I correct in saying you're in a bit of a play at the moment in Melbourne?
You got that. You got that right.
Is it happening yet, or is it up on blocks? What stage is it at?
Gee, it's early days.
Still playing trust games, passing around the imaginary canary, that kind of thing.
No, we're moving along very well, actually. Mm-hmm. It's never been performed before, so we're still working a lot of stuff out. Mm. But it's coming along, and Robin Nevin's a sensational director, so we're
Mickey,
in good hands.
Have you worked with Robin
Nevin? No, I haven't, but I know people who have. And pretty hard taskmaster, I've been told. Watch yourself. Don't pull any of your antics on that show, Tyrrell, or you'll get a kicking in the backside.
She's been very patient with me so far, but it's running out.
Now, Tyrrell, do you get into the acting games? Mick mentioned there the passing around of the imaginary canary. Now, that's a very common thing, isn't it, with actors?
Yeah. For many years, I was actually a thespian separatist.
Oh, yeah.
And, Robin talked me around, like, sort of came back. Mm. I'm not sort of that used to being in the theatre.
So if, you know, a director says, okay, Tyrrell, I want you to be a hamburger, you're not going to draw on your
I go and get a hamburger.
You go and get a hamburger.
Yeah, I'm more like, yeah.
I like that.
Practical.
That would impress me. Would you give the hamburger to me?
If you really wanted it. Right. If you really wanted it.
These are the actor's choices.
Mm.
Now, when we have your proper actor on the program here, Tyrrell, we always, but just because we take a perverse pleasure in the subject,
he's laughing at that description, Tyrrell.
What we want to hear is about disaster, because nothing amuses us more than disastrous experiences on stage. Have you had any disastrous things happen during a play?
I got a good one for you. was last year I was doing like a two-hander, that's just two people on stage, with John Flaus, who's kind of pretty well known. He's king of voiceover. And he had this thing where he had to sort of chain smoke right through it, and he had this ashtray that was very full, but it was out of his peripheral vision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, it kind of started catching fire, and then it sort of fell over into the side of his sort of big plastic chair that he was in. This chair started really smoking. And I, like, this is right in the middle of a performance. I really didn't know what to do. And he didn't know it was happening. And I thought, geez, this chair's probably going to go up, you know. So I leant over and I got this pitcher of water and I threw it at the smoke coming out. But I missed. And I kind of went all over John. And the look I got from John at this thing. Now, we never, you know, it's like this look of, we never rehearsed this, you mad, what are you doing? And, of course, we both forgot our lines after that, but at least I put the fire out eventually, you know.
What are you doing? I'm putting out your backside, pal. You'll thank me later.
It was one of those scary moments.
Mm. That's the only reason I go to the theatre. Just on the off chance there's an accident. Oh, I love it. And what about the audience? How did they react to that? Did it ruin the mood?
Well, I got a very bad case of the giggles, which is easy to do in theatre for some reason. It's just a different vibe that you get. And so I was trying to control it, but my whole body shakes when I've got a very bad case of the giggles. And that night was the only night we actually had a real audience.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of it was empty seats. And these were actually...
None of them were smoking.
These were students of drama. These had come from some... I don't know, somewhere in Victoria, to see it. And so they kind of got the giggles as well. It was good. It was entertaining that night.
And they learned something too, the students. Yeah. Yes. Nothing amuses me more than being in the audience of a play, seeing a bloke go to the door, it doesn't open, and then he has to drop a line like, excuse me, Madam Fortescue, I'll just exit through the fireplace if you don't mind. Stuff like that. But, Tyrrell, can you stick around for a while?
I'd love to.
Okay, we'll be back with more in a moment on SAFM. Sitting in on the panel today, it's Tyrrell Moore, you know, Martin D'Estasio from Frontline, and I think it's the final episode going out tonight, isn't it, Tyrrell?
It is, it is.
Teary?
No, I think it's still fairly funny. And it's got a few surprises in it.
Yeah? So. Does anyone...
Anything you can give away?
I'll say that Mike Moore kicks a goal.
Does he really?
And that's...
Jesus.
And there's a few good visual ones as well.
Any cliffhangers? Any, you know, sort of Melrose Place style stuff going on there? Explosions? Everyone killed?
I think just the future of Mike Moore is the cliffhanger.
Right. And what are you going to, you know, what have you taken away from the series? What have you learnt from doing Frontline? Have you learnt much about the media? Or has it all just gone past you?
No, actually all the episodes blend into one. It's just a weird experience. I have learnt quite a bit about the ethics and morality, if you can.
Do you find you're watching other current affairs shows? Do you find you're watching current affairs shows and looking for angles?
For tips. The do's and don'ts, yeah. I do. I love it now. I actually really enjoy watching them.
And what kind of reaction do you get from journalists when you meet them? Do they see you as one of their own?
I find I have to duck and weave a lot. But it's weird. Journalists are sort of, I don't know, I suppose they have to have a kind of cynicism as a integral part of their work. And I don't get that much cynicism from the journalists that I meet and reporters and stuff. It's kind of respect.
I'm sure it is. Absolutely. You had to say it. No one else was going to, Tyrrell.
I'll take it back. Yeah.
Your character. Now, I mean, any ambitions... I mean, it just kind of lopes around the office, kind of pretty happy to be there, not too concerned. But there's you know,
I
Martin
thought I was
D'Estasio.
Going to London.
No, you're going to London. And what? So that's fallen over. What, you're just going to plop yourself down the chair again?
Have a beer and think about it.
Think about it for another decade.
You know.
Is that it? You're just happy to be there?
Steady as she goes, as D'Estasio's thing. Don't rock the boat.
I see.
Well, rock other people's boats.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, what about working on the show? Can you give us any scuttlebutt about what about that Rob Sitch? What about that Sano Chalera? Are they hard to work with? Are they trouble?
When I started out working with those guys, I had a lot of respect for them.
Mm. That diminished rapidly.
And if anything, I've got more respect for them. actually. God, I want to work again.
There could be a third series.
Yeah, there could be a third series. Who knows? My fingers are crossed.
No tantrums on set. No one storming off to caravans, you know.
No, well, no one could ever find the Winnebagos, and we just... I don't know. They said I was getting one. One was on the way, but I never got it.
I'll tell you something about, you know, Santo Chilaro. He strikes you as the kind of Mr. Average, Mr. Mild Man, and Mr. Ordinary. I'll tell you something a lot of people don't know about him. He's a closet Scotsman. He loves anything Scottish. And on the weekend, you'll find him in a kilt, you know, tossing a caber, listening to a bit of Highland Jig style.
I had a feeling about it.
You know, that Andy Stewart music. Mm. He can't get enough of it. And not many people know that about him. He just loves anything Scottish, shortbread, anything in a little tartan tin in the car, the lollies. You know,
Too often I've seen him in the kilt.
But can you give us any insight into Sando's character that maybe we wouldn't have heard of before? What kind of director is he? Is he a hard taskmaster?
No, he's very visual. He's sort of, move over there. Mm. The direction is sort of a weird process. It's kind of subtle in many ways, apart from can you leave now? I think... As directors, each episode they got better and better. I think more sort of in command of the language of direction, which I've never understood.
Now, you've been nominated for a swag of AFI's Frontline, and that should be good. What are the categories you've been nominated
there
in?
There was direction, best direction for a drama series, and screenplays. Mm-hmm. I think there was two nominations for screenplays.
Mm.
And the other one was... episodes in a series. So there's a trifecta happening.
Well, you should go home with a bag full, I'd reckon, if there's any justice in this world.
Drama.
So should be a good night, anyway. An award ceremony with lots of actors. Well,
I'll get there for the party afterwards.
Maybe we should speak to you the next morning after that, because I reckon you'll have a bundle of stories.
I dare you. Yeah.
All right. Okay, it's a deal. We'll see you back here now. Congratulations on Frontline, and all the best with your play, Tyrrell.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we've been speaking to Tyrrell Moore himself on Martin Malloy.
Telstra Mobile Net Message
Bank. What the commercial channels are throwing on up against it? Well, on Channel 7, we've got Lois and Clark. And tonight, Superman must defeat an army of killer robots. Is this a grown-ups program, I ask?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. People watch it because of, its nuances.
Oh, yeah.
Its ability to get under your skin.
So there's a lot more to it than just killer robots. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, the killer robots is basically the carrot they're dangling.
I think we've had our fill of killer robots.
Move on.
I think so. And after Lois and Clark, you've got Thelma and Louise, a film I'm sure we're all familiar with.
Mm.
But that hasn't stopped Channel 7 pretty much rewriting the plot to the film in the promos they're running.
Have they?
Apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently Thelma and Louise is about two women who run all over the countryside looking for Brad Pitt.
Is that how it works?
I'm sure. I don't know whether people realise that was actually...
I'm sure that's what the director had in mind. Yeah. He just got it wrong in the editing suite.
In fact, it's Brad Pitt with Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis. I didn't realise that. What about Channel 10? They've got Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. And please, make a space in your diaries if you can, people. Listen to this. How to make pickled tomatoes.
Oh, I've been waiting for this one.
I thought we were going to have to wait to see stuff that good. But here it is for free.
Do you know how many times I've gone to make that and I've never really known? I'm flying in the dark. I'm going, I wish someone would tell me how to pickle this tomato.
But as if that weren't enough, Lynn goes hunting for shoes and clothes.
Mm.
Is that how cheap things are getting in Channel 10 now?
That's Thelma and Louise again, isn't it?
I think it might be. And finally on Channel 9, it's looking good.
Oh, please, I'm so embarrassed. Don't watch that. I asked them not to run it, but they're doing it. It's half an hour and all it is just a still photograph of me.
Oh, so you're joking.
Well, yeah.
And that's an attempt to take notes.
That's an
attempt to get the ratings up. Have you seen what they have done? They've got Joe Bailey into a very skimpy bit of leather gear, And you know what's happened. It's obviously not rating very well. And there's been a call, some, you know, pot-belly bloke upstairs, get Joe into something smaller. Get her into some leather gear. And it just doesn't suit her, does it? It's not really the Joe, the prim and proper Joe Bailey I think we
it's
used.
It's not the Joe we love.
No, it's not. So,
lessons. Yeah. More's a pity.
It'll just be, in a couple of weeks, it'll be doing so badly, there'll just be x-rays of Joe Bailey. That's what they'll be holding up.
They'll change the name of the show to Showgirls.
I think so.
But anyway, time for us to sign off, and we must thank our guest Tyriel Moore and all our riveting contestants that aren't Radio Gladiators. And tomorrow our guest will be Magda Szubanski, and she's going to be talking about talking pig movies. So be here for that. Until then, people, here's one of those controversial campaign ads from the Iraqi elections.
This is an important message to the people of Iraq. So please, if you haven't had your ears cut off for desertion, listen up. On election day, vote for Saddam Hussein. And not just because you're not ready to part company with your testicles, but because you are convinced he is warm and fuzzy and wants to be your pal. Not only does he love a laugh with your kiddies, he knows where they are. Capisce? So, on election day, vote one Saddam Hussein. Or it's testicle à l'orange for you.
Written and authorized by Saddam's son Uday, who's standing right behind me with a gun to my head. How was that?